Welcome to Studio Tulsa. I'm Rich Fisher. U.S. Secretary of State John Kerry has said there's nothing foreign about foreign affairs. My guest today believes that if all of us were a little more mindful in our interactions with international visitors, students, and business associates, people-to-people exchanges could be a potent foreign policy tool in deepening U.S. influence and perceptions abroad. Today, Global Ties U.S., the Tulsa Global Alliance, the University of Tulsa, and other partners are hosting a U.S. regional summit on citizen diplomacy. Citizen Diplomacy Shaping the Future is going on at Gilcrease Museum. My guest today is the president of Global Ties U.S., Jennifer Clinton. Global Ties U.S. is formerly the National Council for International Visitors and organizes that program, which has hosted hundreds of global leaders early on in their careers and fostered exchanges in government, business, industry, and nonprofit sectors. Jennifer Clinton has been the president since 2012 and previously was a vice president at the Washington Center, which provides academic internships in Washington for students both at home and abroad. She's also worked at the Overseas Private Investment Corporation and the STS Foundation, which administers academic high school exchange programs. She is currently on location at Gilcrease Museum for the conference, and she joins us today on Studio Tulsa. Jennifer Clinton, welcome to Studio Tulsa. Thanks very much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Your organization, Global Ties U.S., along with Tulsa Global Alliance, your Arkansas version of Global Ties, are hosting this regional summit and looking at really sort of the nuts and bolts of what Global Ties U.S. does, which is citizen diplomacy. How important is citizen diplomacy in shaping U.S. influence and perception abroad?
It is absolutely critical. The role that our government plays in terms of building relationships with, strategic relationships with other nations is important, but they can't do it alone. I mean, there are so many places in the world that need U.S.'s attention, and the role that citizens play or can play in fostering those relationships really at the individual level, you know, whether I'm a business person working on trade relations in Tulsa with other countries, or I'm a teacher that's working with foreign students in my classroom, each one of us, through those personal interactions, can really play a role in shaping the perspective of what other nations think about us that lead to sort of bigger consequential actions that, nations take in terms of working with the U.S. on many different levels.
Is it that simple of just people meeting people?
It can be that simple, absolutely. I mean, that's where if you think about any type of business relationship, always starts at that very personal level. And it becomes more complicated in terms of who's meeting who. And one of the roles that our organization, along with Tulsa Global Alliance, in partnership with the State Department, it's really about identifying those influential people that take time to come to the U.S. and meeting other influential people that are making decisions both at the local and national level around important topics, you know, whether it's, you know, how we're dealing with water shortages or energy issues locally and how that relates to how other nations are dealing with it. It's the type of people that are sitting together and their influence in their local communities, and by opening those conversations and having the discussions with one another, it really can be that simple, but not that simple in terms of picking and finding the right types of people to have the right kind of conversation.
And I think a lot of times Americans will say it's international visitors coming over here to learn what we do, but really in an ideal citizen diplomacy situation, you're learning as much from them as they're learning from you. I know in the couple of citizen diplomacy encounters I've had, I was tremendously struck by African broadcasters, their sort of sense of idealism towards broadcasting. I mean, I came away more inspired from them than anything they took away from me, I think.
Absolutely. I mean, and that's the beauty of the program. I think we tend to focus on kind of that inbound, you know, what am I teaching? Really, the value of the experience is that true exchange, both ways. I mean, we are, the individuals that are involved, yourselves and communities, are so enriched by these individuals that come here and really share their experiences, their challenges, and enrich how we see the rest of the world as well.
So when we talk about the term citizen diplomacy, what all does that entail? I mean, it entails the sort of industry-to-industry sort of business partnerships or exchanges, but how large is the field of citizen diplomacy?
It's really, I really look at it, or we, our community looks at it as really a mindset, right? And so most people have interactions with people from around the world, whether it's, you know, immigrants in your community, foreign students that are studying in your high school or your university, that, you know, the interactions that you have, if you have the mindset that you're a citizen diplomat, it's a different level of engagement, that you're taking on a responsibility and a role that, you know, you pay more attention to how I'm interacting, how I'm engaging, how I'm listening. And if you see yourself as an ambassador of the U.S. and building ties and recognizing that the people I'm interacting with are going to, you know, go back home or have a phone call with a friend or a relative and convey what that image of the U.S., you know, what the people of the U.S. are like, that has a very strong ripple effect. And so, you know, I think citizen diplomacy is as large as, you know, our people, Americans, have that mindset in interacting with, on an everyday basis, interacting with people from around the world that are either based in their community or visiting, and really taking on that role and the responsibility to shape the perspective in a positive way and shape the experience with Americans.
That sounds tremendously mindful. Do you think most people who actually are interacting on a basis with international visitors or in sort of casual encounters are actually thinking about citizen diplomacy?
No. No, and that's why we're here today. I mean, that's what the role of our organization and our partner organizations is, kind of bringing that mindfulness to the table. I mean, I'll give an example of one of, I think, the biggest citizen diplomacy opportunities our nation has is interacting with the million of foreign students that are studying in U.S. universities. Oklahoma has 10,000 of them. And if we could just pay attention, a little bit more attention to how we're interacting, because, I mean, these are the best and the brightest from China, from India, from Saudi Arabia, very strategic countries that, you know, influence this country in significant ways. And if we could just be more mindful in the interactions in the classroom, in the dorm room with these students, you know, I think it's an untapped diplomatic tool that we have at our disposal that, frankly, every American can play a role in, but just it just takes that kind of click of the mindset.
I'm glad you mentioned that. I was going to ask about that. One of the things, when we think of international visitors, we think of aspiring professionals or professionals, and certainly that's a big part of it, and we'll talk about that in a moment. But how important are these student exchanges in the mix of citizen diplomacy?
I think hugely important. I mean, a lot of what we talk about, meaning sort of the diplomatic community, higher education, talks about the economic contribution that these foreign students make, which is $30 billion to the U.S. economy. That's huge. But we have to go beyond that. We have to think strategically around the sort of the goodwill elements and the sort of what is known as public diplomacy elements of how the long-term potential that we have to build strategic relationships with these nations through these students who are, as I said, again, best and the brightest. They're highly educated. They're highly ambitious. They're going back home and starting their own businesses that, you know, hopefully will do business with the U.S. And, you know, that's a major contribution, not only economic. And I want us to kind of push beyond that economic contribution and think about it in terms of cultural, long-term economic, cultural ties with these nations.
Well, when you think of the sheer number, you mentioned 10,000 foreign students studying here in Oklahoma, compared to the number of international visitors, that number dwarfs.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And that's where the opportunity is, right at our fingertips, right?
Mm-hmm. And so moving beyond the economic sort of viewpoint of student visitors, that cultural tie, I mean, it's really difficult for a lot of these international students, and it's also difficult for native students, American students, to interact in a really meaningful way other than around classwork. You know, the cultural differences, sometimes we don't think enough about those differences.
Absolutely. And that, I mean, I'll just give, you know, a statistic that doing some research on this topic where there was a subset of a couple thousand students who were interviewed after 4 years 3 years ago, 50% of them said that they were going back home without having one American friend. And in terms of student success, the more, I mean, it's proven that the more American friends that they have, the better that they're doing academically. So the challenge is, and it's incumbent upon all of us, whether it's teachers, faculty, administrators, families, I mean, just even having a student in college and really encouraging them to get to know these foreign students, to interact with them, and setting up, you know, can be somewhat superficial, but then, you know, setting up opportunities where there is that intermingling so that those friendships can be formed. It's critical. I mean, to hear that 50% of this population of students didn't have one true American friend, and then you have the reality of large groups of students coming from specific countries like China, like Saudi Arabia, that it just is easier for them to stay in their own group. So we got to break down that barrier.
Well, when you also think of perhaps the experience of American students going abroad, I would say that statistic's probably a great deal larger.
Yeah, right.
of an American student having a foreign friend from their stay abroad.
Right.
That sounds like a tremendous challenge. Do you think that number is higher today just because of the sheer number of foreign students coming to the United States to study?
I'm sure it's higher. But I would say I think universities are doing a better job at this because I think they're getting it and they're recognizing that just even in sheer attrition, you know, keeping students on campus, if students aren't happy and they're not making friends, then they're going to leave. It's becoming an imperative from a business perspective, but also from a, you know, a relationship building, long-term relationship building in terms of connecting that student to the university through alumni engagement. It's got to happen at the individual level. And again, it goes back to the individuals connecting with each other and building relationships.
Well, it sounds like that's the purpose of this particular regional summit here in Tulsa today at Gilchrist Museum. My guest today is Jennifer Clinton, the president of Global Ties U.S., that's formerly the National Council for International Visitors, Global Ties U.S., Global Ties Arkansas, the Tulsa Global Alliance, and the U.S. State Department and the University of Tulsa are hosting this regional summit today. Diplomacy begins here. And it sounds like that's what the focus of this particular regional summit is, sort of grassroots learning about citizen diplomacy. What is the focus of this particular summit?
Multifold. So starting out with just the awareness of how important citizens' role is in diplomatic activities. We're doing a session and partnering with Booker T. Washington High School here to do a simulation. So actually putting students in the seats of diplomats to look at a present situation of the refugee situation and having them take on the roles of different countries to basically negotiate solutions to this problem and giving them a sense that, yes, they can play a role in this. And so we're doing that this morning. We have the mayor of Tulsa coming in to speak with us during the luncheon and talking about a lot of the work that he's doing in encouraging international relationships and big emphasis on youth and youth empowerment and how important it is that our youth are very globally minded and encouraging the community to make that a priority. We're also looking at careers in international affairs, so kind of, again, getting young people interested and involved in thinking about plotting a future for themselves in a global economy. We're also looking at the role of economic development in terms of trade, entrepreneurship, and how important trade relationships are to this economy here. I think it's 46,000 jobs here in Oklahoma depend on international trade. 36,000 people are employed by foreign companies, so it's a significant element of the local economy.
Let me ask you, out of the international visitor program, how much business comes back to America through these personal exchanges and sort of professional exchanges of learning about how you do a specific industry here in the United States versus in another country?
It's a good question. Hard to track because this is really the seed of a longer-term relationship. So I don't have that number offhand, but it
Anecdotally. Does it happen? I mean, do you hear from people who have hosted delegations and all of a sudden they're saying, hey, we've got this new business contact?
Definitely anecdotally. And I can give an example, not necessarily here in Tulsa, but in Baltimore, where there was a big trade relationship that was established through a delegation coming in from Haiti, where it was basically an ice cream producer that decided, because of that delegation that came in, we're going to start importing vanilla and cocoa from Haiti, and that's their main supplier. And that just started with a conversation.
Now, this regional summit is, I guess, a part of a group of regional summits you've been holding around the country, both, I guess, last year and this year. Mm-hmm. And the purposes vary from city to city. What is the purpose of these gatherings?
The overall kind of umbrella of it is the element of citizen diplomacy, and again, helping to change that mindset, right? But each of the summits takes on a different specific topic. So, you know, the upcoming summits that we have this year, the next one in Albany will focus on women's empowerment, because women, you know, promoting and empowering women around the world is critically, critically important. The more women are involved in economies, the more successful and peaceful those nations are. So we'll be highlighting that in Albany. And in San Francisco, we're looking at the role of educational technology in diplomacy and how much technology is being used to build bridges between the U.S. and other nations. In Minneapolis, we're going to be looking at countering violent extremism. Again, Minneapolis is a very interesting case study of very different populations that are dealing with some tough issues locally on extremism. And so each local community, you sort of get the, as I mentioned, the big umbrella of citizen diplomacy, but more locally kind of areas of emphasis that speak to both local expertise, local focus, but also how that touches kind of the global foreign policy priorities of our country.
You mentioned security issues. I'm wondering, given the security-conscious world we're living in today, in many parts of the world, as not only here in the United States, but are people-to-people exchanges more difficult today because of these concerns?
That's a good question. I mean, you can take the example of Russia, where basically the Russian government has shut down exchange programs with the U.S. There are organizations in the U.S. that are still working with Russia, but it's very, very difficult because of the environment and the sort of the cooling of relationships between the two countries. But you know, you take places like Cuba. I mean, that it's had an explosion of interest and activity of exchange. You know, adults all the way down to youth wanting to go to Cuba and really experience and understand, you know, what's going on there. So it kind of depends on the area and the relationship between the U.S. and that country. Similar to Iran, there's also been an explosion of interest on both sides. Academic delegations going over to explore university partnerships, business delegations. So.
You mentioned Cuba. You know, Cuba has been off limits officially for a long time to U.S. residents. What do you think the effect of the opening of Cuba is going to have on Cubans' feelings towards the United States, our overall official relations, and economic matters there?
I was just speaking with a Department of State colleague yesterday who was down there for the transition to the opening of the embassy there. I mean, it's an amazing story. And I mean, anecdotally, she talked about how enthusiastic the Cubans are and excited about, you know, the opening of relationships and opportunities, and they see a tremendous economic opportunity for themselves. And, you know, on the American side, it's, you know, tremendous interest in warming of those ties. I mean, there's incredible historic ties that we have between the two countries, and it's a very exciting time.
But, you know, if Cuban just becomes another tourist destination, does that really serve the relationship, given all the enmity between the two countries?
A good point. I think you know, hopefully we'll be smart about it, and both sides will be smart about it, and kind of hopefully take on a mindset that is a little more holistic than than just the economic side of it, the commercialism side of it. It's important, but the cultural element, the historical ties are also important. And you know, hopeful that there's that holistic, as I said, awareness of, you know, how significant this is, and maybe we can do it a little differently than we've done it collectively together in the past.
My guest today is Jennifer Clinton. She is the president of Global Ties U.S. Global Ties U.S., along with the Tulsa Global Alliance and a host of other partners, are presenting a regional summit today. Diplomacy Begins Here, Citizen Diplomacy Shaping the Future, today at Gilcrease Museum. And she joins us from the museum today. And she's our guest today on Studio Tulsa. Well, what I think of the meat and the heart of Global Ties U.S. is the International Visitors Program. Global Ties and its predecessor name, National Council for International Visitors, has brought an amazing array of people to the United States. What impact has the International Visitors Program had on our diplomacy? I mean, it has to have an effect since you have so many world leaders who have participated as an international visitor at some point in their early career.
Absolutely. I mean, think about it. Today, 300 heads of state or heads of government have participated in this program. So this We're bringing them, these leaders that, you know, before they hit their peak in terms of their professional careers. So they're coming at, you know, 35 year olds, like really on their way up. So the impression, I mean, you hear recounts from Margaret Thatcher, who, you know, whose first visit to the U.S. was through the IB program, and really, really made a huge impression on her. Other leaders like Oscar Arias, the former president of Costa Rica, who came at a young age and really, you know, shaped his view of the role of the U.S. in the whole of Latin America. We recently had the first female prime minister of Trinidad that was elected in 2010 with an IV that came to Tulsa in 1998. So again, that individual connection, seeing America in real, if you will, really shapes the impressions. I mean, you think about, you know, the first days on the job of the Chinese president, Xi Jinping, who made a point to come back. He wasn't an Ivy alum, but his experience as an exchange participant through his sister cities program many, many years ago, many decades ago, and going to Muscatine, Iowa, the first weeks on the job was a very symbolic and important message that these experiences are important, and that experience for him in particularly shaped his viewpoint in terms of the relationship with the U.S. Though complicated as it is, one could say, well, if he didn't spend the time in Muscatine, Iowa, what would his approach be today?
My guest today is Jennifer Clinton, and she's president of Global Ties U.S., who's participating in this Citizen Diplomacy Regional Summit today at Gilcrease Museum. And when we think of the visitors program, we think of, you mentioned four heads of state, but most of the time these people are academics, they're business people, they're doing something else other than politics when they come over. Isn't that the case?
That's correct. That's correct.
And you mentioned the Chinese president coming back to his place where he had an international exchange. What is the interest of some place like Oklahoma, or what we often call here in the middle of the country, flyover country, in general to international visitors? You know, I think when we go abroad, we think of the big capitals, we think of the great natural wonders or the big cities, as opposed to a provincial area. So what is the interest to the middle of the country for these people-to-people exchanges?
I think the interest is significant, and I've heard it time and time again from alums of this program. I think the most important element of it, if coming to a place like Tulsa, is that it's relatable, right? So not everybody that's coming on this program are coming from the big capitals. They're coming from, you know, smaller communities, provinces that have very similar challenges and opportunities that a community like Tulsa faces. So in many instances, frankly, it's even more enriching than going to a place like Washington or New York that is just not, in their minds, relatable and kind of real life. So meeting with the mayor of Tulsa, meeting with the city council and the leaders of this community their peers, right? Their peers mm-hmm. with the people that are coming, and that, you know, they're running cities, heads of organizations in smaller communities, and so that enrichment of seeing the similar challenges makes a big difference in them being able to integrate that experience and that perspective into what their real experiences are back home.
Now, one of your panels actually sort of deals with that, the influence of Native Americans on international visitors. That's actually maybe an attractant point?
Absolutely. I mean, you think about around the world how many nations have indigenous populations. And the ability to see how Oklahoma historically and today is working with the Native American population here, and what a rich resource and contribution to this community is. I think it's very inspiring for people that are working with those indigenous populations that you know, might be inspired to think about the way in which Oklahoma has really worked together with this community.
Well, one last question. You're hoping that more people will be mindful of citizen diplomacy. Coming out of this regional summit, what do you hope the results will, for at least the participants today, will be?
I mean, our hope is that, number one, there's more collaboration and working together around this cause of citizen diplomacy and exploration of, you know, well, you know, this organization's doing XYZ, how might we work together? Because, you know, I've been involved in the nonprofit sector most of my career, and we typically don't do a good job of working together. And so that's part of it. A lot of like-minded people here and a lot of opportunities for synergies. The second thing that, you know, we're hopeful is that people walk away saying, being sort of re-energized to really take on this role, this important role, and kind of help others shift their mindsets as well in terms of embracing their role as ambassador on behalf of the U.S. And can talk to their colleagues about it, because people here in this room are influential as well, and can influence others to you know, do something a little bit differently, whether it's in a classroom, a conference room, in terms of engaging with international people.
It's going to be just as simple as how you engage someone from another country, or hosting an international student, like in a high school student exchange program, or a lot more.
Exactly. I mean, it can go all the way from that to, you know, setting a new policy on campus for how we're going to integrate international students.
Yeah. Well, Jennifer Clinton, thank you very much for your time today. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Jennifer Clinton is the president of Global Ties U.S., that organization, along with Tulsa Global Alliance, the U.S. State Department, the University of Tulsa, and Global Ties Arkansas, is hosting a regional summit, Diplomacy Begins Here, today at Gilcrease Museum. Citizen Diplomacy, Shaping the Future. It's going on all day long at Gilcrease Museum. Well, that's Studio Tulsa for today. Our program is produced and edited by Scott Gregory. The views of our guests and commentators are their own, do not necessarily reflect the views of KWGS or its licensee, the University of Tulsa. I'm Rich Fisher. Thanks for listening.